Welcome back to Search the Scriptures. This is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ right here in Omaha, Nebraska. Great to be with all of our listeners here again today. What a blessing to be able to come together, open up God's Word and study a little bit further, dig a little bit deeper, learn a little bit more. And in that process, to grow in our faith, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. We encourage you to, if you're in the Omaha area, to come and check us out in person. Get to know us. Let us get to know you. Worship God with us. Study His Word with us. Grow spiritually with us at the Sunny Slope Church of Christ. Our church building is located at 3606 North 108th Street, right here in Omaha. 3606 North 108th Street. Bible classes begin at 9:30 on Sunday morning, followed by worship at 10:30. Sunday evening, 6 o'clock, we come back for another period of worship and Bible study. And on Wednesday evenings, 6:30, middle of the week, good time to get our spiritual batteries recharged for the rest of the week. Each Wednesday evening, we come back together for midweek Bible classes. Again, 6:30 each Wednesday evening. We would love to have you come and join us. We would love to have you come and study with us and learn with us and grow spiritually with us. Check us out. Let us get to know you and you get to know us. Now also, take advantage of our website, churchofchrist.com, churchofchrist.com. And especially click on the podcast button and sign up for our podcasting. All of that is free. It always will be free. And when you sign up for our podcasting, maybe you miss this program from time to time because of your busy schedule. Well, sign up for our podcasting. You'll receive it to your smartphone or computer or whatever smart device you choose automatically 5 days a week, every day. Plus, you'll receive a whole lot more Bible teaching, and again, all for free. So take advantage of that and tell all your friends to do so as well. We're going to get back into our line of thought and study. We have been looking at a basic kind of umbrella theme that we have just entitled Heart Troubles. And we're talking, again, not of the physical muscle or organ within our chest that pumps blood through our circulatory system. That's physical, physiological. We're talking about heart troubles or problems of the heart from a spiritual perspective. And we've already covered quite a number of those, and some of those might kind of raise people's eyebrows and cause them to think, oh, never thought about that as being a heart trouble or a problem of the heart, but all of these are, literally. One of those is laziness. Well, that might have really raised some eyebrows, but laziness is a heart problem. Hatred, fear, gossip, anger, and what we're engaged in right now is a study about worry. Boy, we are a worrying people in our country, in our culture, right now. And that's been going on for quite a while. We worry. We worry about all kinds of things. We worry about, you know, something that's already happened. We worry about something that might happen, but probably never will. We worry about how much money we've got or little money we've got. We worry about, you know, we've got a good job, but you know, what if the boss fires me? We worry about, you know, the weather. We worry about the heat, the cold, the sun. We worry about rain, too much rain, not enough rain. We worry about snow, not enough snow. You know, it just goes on and on. We worry about what people think about us. We worry about what might happen. We worry, you know, yeah, why do we buy so many different insurance policies? Now, I'm not saying that insurance policies are not good and not beneficial, but why do we buy so many insurance policies? Well, a lot of times we're worried about what might happen to us. And so we try to cover ourselves by making sure that we have sufficient insurance to take care of us in the event that something does happen to us. Well, we talked about worry, and we noted that in what we call the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, within 10 verses, Jesus, teaching on that occasion, used the word worry or worrying, teaching us to not worry, to not be all caught up in worry, five times. Five times he used the word worry or worrying, and three times in that text he said, do not worry, do not worry. But sadly, for some people, worry is probably a more commonly felt emotion than is love. And it's certainly as common in their experience as joy, sorrow, fear, excitement, or a whole number of other emotions. And probably a lot of people worry more than they experience joy. Now, isn't that sad? And isn't it sad that even in a relationship where a person loves their spouse, perhaps, loves their children, loves their parents, loves a friendship, they may still feel worry even in that relationship in a more pronounced way than they feel love most of the time. That's sad. Why worry? To worry is to have a troubled state of mind. It is to be uneasy in mind and emotion. It is to be weighed down by the burden of whatever it is that you're worrying about. Worry produces an unusual degree of anxiety, angst, and stress, which can diminish the joy that life should hold for us, and especially that life should hold for a faithful, dedicated, obedient Christian. Worry robs us of a lot of happiness, doesn't it? A lot of peace of mind. In fact, worry is the opposite of peace of mind. And the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 4 and verse 7 that if we are living a faithful, dedicated, obedient, consistent life as a Christian before God, that God will give us his peace. The peace of God that surpasses understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now that's profound peace, and it's the opposite of worry. It does away with worry, in fact. Uncontrolled worry can result in emotional, physical, and spiritual disorders. Worry, uncontrolled worry on an ongoing basis can land a person in the hospital or maybe in a mental institution. Obviously, it is important that we recognize worry for what it is so that we can be on guard against its potential complications and that we can learn to deal with it effectively and put it out of our heart. I left you with six questions last time as we closed, and I'll just repeat these quickly. This is a self-test. Now, I can't see you, so don't be embarrassed to honestly answer these questions. You might even want to write down your answers. And then think about it yourself. First, list the main things about which you find yourself worrying most often. There's probably more than one. And these things probably come up on a regular basis in your mind, in your emotions. Write them down. Number two, is there anything about which you are worrying at this time? Something that's going through your mind on a continual basis during this period of time. Is there anything about which you are worrying? Number three, what effect does your worrying have on you personally? Now be honest, how does it affect you? Do you find yourself having to ask the doctor for some kind of anti-anxiety medication because you're worrying? Do you find yourself having to take, you know, antacid tablets on a regular basis because your stomach is all tore up because of worry? What were you worrying about? Number four, what were you worrying about 1 year ago today? Do you even remember? Number five, has worry made things or made your life better or worse? And how so? Number six, have you learned any lessons from worrying? Interesting questions, aren't they? Well, let's look at some classifications of worry. Some classifications of worry. Some things that you might not have thought about. Now, first, people worry about things that have already happened. People worry about things that have already happened. Is that you? Are you worrying about something that has already happened? Now stop and think about it. If it's already happened, how does worrying about it help? Does worrying about it solve it? It's already happened. It's like water under the bridge already. It's like the day gone by. Something somebody said or did, or something that happened that had an effect on you or someone you know and care about. Are you worrying about something like that? Something that's already passed, it's already happened? Is it legitimate to feel concern, perhaps even sorrow, about something that has happened? Absolutely. We get word that a relative, or maybe a close friend, or maybe a work associate who we care about has just passed away. We feel sorrow. That's natural. But do you worry about that? They've already passed away. Worrying about their having passed away is not going to bring them back. Now, concern? Sorrow? Upset, perhaps? Sure. To some degree, for a period of time. But can worry help the matter? Can worry change what happened? Can worry make it not have happened? Whatever it is, it doesn't have to be the death of a loved one. It could be, again, somebody, they called you an ugly name. You lost your job. You got fired. You had an accident. Can worry fix it? Can worry make it never have happened? Can worry change what happened? Can worry make it better? Now, let me suggest this to you. Worrying about some situation, almost without exception, makes it worse, doesn't it? Because it's not just the effect of what happened that causes you pain, grief, anxiety. Now it's the worry that just continues to feed upon that. Can worry erase from your memory or the memory of others involved what happened? You know the answer to these questions, don't you? Basically, the answer is no to every one of them. And think about this. What happens if, let's say, you're a craftsman, and so you got a piece of wood, you're building something, you're trying to bring something, you create something, and so you saw this piece of wood. What about the sawdust on the floor or on the ground? Have you ever tried to saw sawdust? Well, it's a stupid question, isn't it? To ask it is to answer it. You can't saw sawdust. Well, why try to rehash whatever it is that you're worrying about that's already happened? Have you ever tried to put toothpaste back in the tube? That's an impossible task, isn't it? Do you think you could reverse the flow of a river in order to get the water back on the front side of a bridge? Doesn't work, does it? Can't do it. Worry will not undo anything that has already been done, that has already happened. It won't undo. It won't fix anything that has already taken place about which you're worrying. You can address the matter by taking thoughtful, positive steps that will deal effectively with the situation. That's a positive, proactive response. But worrying about it won't accomplish anything useful. it'll just make you feel worse and maybe even affect your health physically and possibly emotionally and possibly spiritually as well. Now, how about sin? If sin is involved, you can actively seek God's forgiveness. A person who is outside of Christ is living in sin, whether they realize it or not. Well, what do they do about that? A basic text of Scripture we look at repeatedly in these Bible studies is Romans 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in or through Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay? I want that eternal life. I want to get out of the death sentence. What do I do? If all I do is worry about the guilt of my sin and I don't take any proactive step, then I'm just going to stay in my sin. But how can I receive that promise, that assurance of eternal life through Jesus Christ that God offers to everybody? Well, I've got to come to Jesus in repentance. Jesus said, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. I've got to confess my faith in Jesus. Jesus said that if I'll confess him before men here in this world, he'll confess me before my Father, before his Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. And Jesus says that I need to surrender to him or submit to him in baptism for the remission of my sins. He told the apostles to go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Now, that all begins with, I need to believe in Jesus as my Savior. If you do not believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins, he said in John chapter 8 and verse 24. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. So I've got to come to my Savior. I've got to believe in him. Again, where does faith come from? How does it develop within me? We say it all the time in these programs. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. So I need to get in God's Word, and as I study it and I learn it, I understand it, and I believe it. Okay, that's the beginning of faith developing within me. And what's the result of that faith developing within me? I've got to recognize I'm a sinner in need of forgiveness. I need redemption and salvation. Where do I go to get that? Through Jesus Christ. I repent of my sins. I confess my faith in Christ as my Lord and Savior and God's Son. And I'm baptized. At that point, the blood that he shed on the cross for me to pay the price for the guilt of my sins will cleanse me of the guilt of my sins. As I go beneath the waters of baptism, totally immersed, I'm actually buried with him in that spiritual reenactment of his being buried in the tomb after he died on that cross. In coming to obedience and being baptized, I'm dying to the guilt of my sin. I'm being buried with him in the waters of baptism. The blood that he shed cleanses me of the guilt of my sins, and I come up a new creation. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I'm reborn spiritually. As Jesus told Nicodemus, must happen for me to be able to enter the kingdom of God. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Now, those are proactive steps, but simply worrying about sin in my life is not going to get me forgiveness of my sins. It's not going to remove the guilt of my sins. But God has said, hey, I've made the way for you to be forgiven. I've made the way for you to be reborn spiritually. I've made the way for you to have a new life in Christ. Won't you come to me through Jesus? Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." Now that's proactive. I'm coming to Jesus in faithful obedience so that as my Savior, I can be forgiven through him, redeemed, born again, saved, and have the assurance of eternal life that Paul wrote down as God's gift to us if we will come to him through Jesus Christ. Romans 6 and verse 23. Now, there's no need to continue to live under the curse of sin. God can forgive if we will come to him for forgiveness his way. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. I've run into people, I've had people talk to me concerned that they have committed such horrible sins that they could never be forgiven. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, and that includes you. God, in his love and mercy and grace, sent his Son to the cross specifically to provide you with the avenue to be forgiven of your sins, however awful they might be. In fact, the Apostle Paul put it this way, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8. Now he died for us because we were sinners. And there was no way that we could in and of ourselves, by ourselves, forgive ourselves of our sins. God only can forgive us, and through Christ. Christ died for us as the perfect sacrifice, the one time for all time sacrifice. Hebrews 7 verse 27, so that we could be forgiven of our sins. And you can turn away from your sin and turn to God. Isaiah 55 verses 6 and 7. God loves you. And again, he does not want your destruction. He wants you to turn to him in repentance and seek his forgiveness through Jesus Christ in the ways we just said. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. He's ready to forgive. We'll look a little bit further next time. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand and to grasp that you love us so much that even if we have committed horrible sins in the past, you can forgive us. You will forgive us if we will come to you your way through Christ, and we can put that worry out of our hearts. Thank you, Father. Please forgive us and hear our prayer, gracious Father. In Jesus' name, amen.